All right, saints, we're going to jump into the scriptures. And so, all right. So I know these past 2 weeks, we've kind of, I ain't going to say we, it's just that God has just had me in a different place. And so what I want to do now is pick back up in Ephesians 4, right? And my goal, here's the thing, and I say this to my shame, but I'm going to say it anyways. So my goal was, we spent a month, a couple months ago, we spent like a month and a half going over the spiritual gifts, right? We dug into that, right? We did the spiritual gift assessment. We talked about it multiple times. So we dug in there, right? And my goal today was, okay, now we can get back to Ephesians 4. We can get back to having those discussions, and it's more questions, and we're all kind of engaged and having those discussions like we've done in the past. But as I was preparing for today and, you know, reading the text, like, I didn't have any questions, so to speak. Like, normally I'm reading the text and like, oh, these are some good discussion questions and things we can dig into. And I found myself basically writing up a sermon, right? And I literally said this out loud to God, to my shame. I'm like, but God, it's not what I wanted to do, right? I literally said that. Like, who am I to tell God, like, what I want to do, what I want to do? Like, this is not what I wanted to do, God. I wanted to have discussions and questions, and that was the plan. But as I was just going through, it was just like, oh man, this needs to just be said. And just, so it's not going to be the discussion that I wanted, that I thought we would be having for the rest of chapter 4. It's more of a topical sermon, I guess you would call it. As I was preparing, this is just what was coming out. And so me, I'm just trying to be obedient to where I feel God is leading me to go and do. So it's not much, but it's just something that, I don't know, this is where God had me going. So I'm a walk in that. And that's what I try to do. Oh, let me cut this on. I really try to just be as sensitive as I can to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, and from what he's telling me to teach on, to ideas and topics, like, I'm really trying to be sensitive to that. And so this is where we will be today. And the other thing is, remember last week I was talking about meditating on scripture and how when we meditate, we want to go over the different verses in our mind, in our head, and maybe even key on certain words that stood out to us. And so that's where this whole teaching that I'm going to do came from. It came from just two words, futility of the mind, that you see here in Ephesians 4:17. And you can go on YouTube. I've already preached through Ephesians 4:17 through 24 before when I was preaching through it the first time. But I didn't key in on those words. Why? Because, and this is a point that I really want to make. Why? Because at certain times in our life, certain words stick out to us in scripture. Depending on what we're going through, life circumstances, certain words, certain verses are going to really pop out to you more than they did when you were maybe in a better state. And so this time around, as I was reading through Ephesians 4:17, hoping to come up with some questions and have that discussion time, the words futility of the mind just kept popping out to me. And so that just grabbed me. And from there, God just had me on my computer just going and just spitting. And so that's just what I'm going to stick to. That's just where I'm going to move forward in, just what God was doing there. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through verse 20, would say. 17 through 20. And I even have a title for this. The Good News of a New Mind. That's the title that came to me. The Good News of a New Mind. The Good News, the Gospel of a New Mind, right? Which tells you that the gospel is big. There's good news that we have new minds. So that's the good news we're going to talk about. All right, so let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 17, and we'll look at down to verse 20. If we get to 20, we may not. We may stop at 19. But the word of God reads, So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. That is the phrase that has been with me. Do not walk as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. Paul says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Verse 19. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. So the good news of a new mind, the good news of a new mind. So if you see in verse 17, how does Paul starts off this verse here? He says, so this I say and affirm with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. I want to kind of go on tangent just briefly with the word that stood out to me also. It's this word Gentile. You see how he uses this word Gentile here in verse 17? Who is Paul writing to here in Ephesians? He's writing to Gentiles. But then what does he say here? Do not walk just as what? The Gentiles walk, but he's talking to Gentiles. And if you have some translations, your Bible will say, just as the other Gentiles, which that word is others, not actually in the Greek. It's just Gentiles. And so what stood out to me is that, like, whoa, Paul really believes what he's preaching, I believe. He really doesn't just see these Ephesians who were largely Gentiles. There may be some Jews there in the church, but they were largely Gentiles. But he doesn't see them as just Gentiles, but he actually believes what he's preaching, and he sees them as truly his brothers and sisters in Christ. He doesn't just see them as Gentiles. And I bring this point out to say, we oftentimes use the term Brother Jerome, Brother Pastor Brian, Sister Melissa. My question is, do we really mean that, though? Do we really mean that this is my sister? This is my brother? Because if we really meant that as Paul meant it, then we would treat each other a little bit different. Because think about it, if somebody's really your brother, in most circumstances, if they're your brother and they come over to your house, they can come to your house, and if it can be dirty, not even clean. Why? Because what? It's my brother, right? Oh, that's my brother. I'm not worried about it. If it was somebody, a coworker coming over, it's fine. It's my brother, right? That's how we treat. Oh, this is family over here, right? So I'm not even really worried. I say in most circumstances, because I know not all the time, right? But in most circumstances, when somebody is your brother or your sister, you treat them a little bit differently, right? They have certain privileges, and I just wonder, and I'm just really asking the questions, like when we call each other brother or sister, do we really mean that? Do you know what you're saying? Many of us have siblings. You have a brother or your sister. Are you seeing your other brother and sister in Christ in the same way, or is there just a different, more special relationship over here? And so it just really made me think, because I think Paul really believes that these Gentiles, yes, they may be Gentiles in one sense, but I really think he believed that they were his brother and sister in Christ. Like he says in Ephesians 2, how God has brought the one together, the two together, and made a new humanity. And I think Paul actually really believes that. So that's just a question that when I'm reading here, like, do we really believe that this is really my brother or sister in Christ? And if so, am I really treating them as I would treat a brother or a sister in Christ? Or I'm just treating them as a good friend and we go to the same church together? So just something out there for you just to examine yourself. That's really not the point of this message, but just something I wanted to throw out there. What he says here in 17, he's telling these former Gentiles, these former pagans, he says, I affirm with you with the Lord that you should no longer walk. Remember, to walk means how you live your life. So you should no longer live your life or walk as a Gentile also walks. And then he says, they are walking in the futility of their mind. Does anybody know what that means? What do you think that means to walk in the futility of your mind? And this is an open question for anybody. So this is a question. What do you think that means? Just anybody. What is that? Darkened? Yeah, that's, you can say that's, yeah, that's some of what it means to walk in the futility of your mind. Anybody else want to take a shot at it?
I think we're made to love God with all our mind, and if we're not doing that, we're wasting our mind kind of futility.
Right, right. Okay, that's good too. That's good too.
That's good. I've never seen it from that perspective.
We're not. There, she's giving us a definition that she's giving us Webster, and that's where I was actually going to. But something that's futility or futile, it means it's pointless. It's useless, pointless. Has no point. It's just, it's useless. It's pointless, right? It's just something you do that really has no point, no end. I think about it like, you ever been driving and it's dark at night and you see the moon? And the moon looks so close, it looks like you can reach out and touch it, right? And I've seen something sometimes where kids, the moon was so close and you find them jumping up trying to touch the moon, right? Because they feel so close that they're like, oh, if I can jump up and touch the moon, right? Guess what? They can try to do that all day long, right? But that action is what? It's futile. Because no matter how hard they jump, even if they make a plan, even if they write it out in the manual, this is how you can touch the moon, you just got to jump really, like, there's nothing you can do to actually touch the moon. That action that they're doing is futile. It's pointless, right? There's no real reason. It's not going to get you to your intended purpose. It's futile. Well, saints, that's kind of what our natural mind looks like. That's what our natural mind looks like when it's not controlled by the Spirit of God. That's what the natural fleshly human mind looks like. It's a mind that thinks that it can find peace and thinks that it can find happiness and thinks that it can find life without God, right? And you can go on the internet, you can go on YouTube, and there's tons of people living in their futile mind telling you this is how you find peace, this is how you find joy, this is how you find happiness. Guess what? They even have books about it. They even have courses you can buy on how to find peace and happiness with all of these methods they have prescribed. But guess what? That mind, those methods are futile because it will not get you to your intended point. If your mind is not controlled by the Spirit of God, if you do not have the mind of Christ, all of those exercises, all of those self-help things are futile, right? Because they won't get you to your intended point. If you're looking for happiness and peace and you think you're going to find that outside of God and you have somebody telling you that you can do that if you just follow these steps, that is futile. That is a futile mind. Why? Because it will not get you to your intended purpose. You need God. You need a mind that's controlled by the Spirit of God. You need to actually have the mind of Christ to get there. And that is something saying, so you realize that you have the mind of Christ? I don't know if some of you knew that. Do you realize that the Scripture says that we have the mind of Christ? Did anybody know that? Not like Jesus' exact mind, but what it means is to look at life, to see things from his perspective, right? Do you realize that Christ lives in you, right? So if Christ lives in you, then the Spirit of God is in you. So that's why you can see things from his perspective. Also, if you have his word in you, his word comes from his mind, right? So then God's mind, Christ's mind is inside of you. But a mind without the Spirit of God in it, saints, a mind that does not have the mind of Christ in it, that mind is futile, and that is our natural mind. See, outside of the Spirit of God, outside of the mind of Christ being upon us, and we just going about our natural mind, our natural way of thinking, you're just going to do whatever you wanted to do. Think about it. Before you became a believer, before you followed Jesus, and you're just in your own natural mind, what happened? You just did what was you felt was right, right? You just did what I felt, what I think is good. So yes, maybe this fortune cookie says this, so I'm going to take the advice of this fortune cookie. Or maybe I'm going to go and follow my horoscope, right? Because back in my days, that was a big thing. What sign are you, right? People always talking about, oh, you a Taurus, are you a different, right, right? So, right, our natural mind, we're just going to go to stuff like that, right? If we don't have the mind of God, we don't have the Spirit of God working in us, we're just going to go with our natural state of things, right? Whatever the culture tells me, right? I'm going to follow my horoscope. I'm going to follow what maybe my favorite actor says, or my favorite athlete, or my favorite singer or celebrity, whatever they say, when I'm just going in my natural mind, I'm just going to take the advice of these other people, right? That's what happens when we don't have the mind of Christ, when we don't have the Spirit of God. We just go with whatever the world gives us. Whatever my culture says, oh, you're black, so oh, then the black culture says you need to act this way. This is the purpose of life. This is what you need to focus on. Oh, you're Mexican. Oh, well, the culture says you need to do this. And that's what happens. That's what we did, right? We just followed the way of the world. When we didn't have God, when we didn't have Christ, we just followed whatever the world was telling us, whatever they told us was important. And even more, even what's happening nowadays is more of politics. We just take the minds of our favorite politicians, oftentimes nowadays, or we just take the mind of our favorite political party, right? When we're not having the mind of Christ, when we're not having the Spirit inside of us, then we just follow whatever, again, the world is telling us. And all of us, we know this very well because we all did it. We just follow whatever we thought was cool and popular. But now here, the people that Paul are describing, let's go back to Ephesians 4:17. So Paul is now, he's describing these people, these Gentiles, as living in the futility of their mind, right, in 4:17. But he also describes something else here that's very important. He says, not only are they Gentiles walking in their flesh in the futility of their mind, but he says these other things in verse 18. He says that they have been darkened in their understanding and excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. And he says, because of the hardness of their hearts. So think about that, what he says. He says, these Gentiles who you used to be, Ephesians, he says, I don't want you walking like them, because how do they walk? They walk in the futility of their mind. And he said, they have no understanding, or they are darkened in their understanding. He said, again, they're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, and they have stony hearts. That's what he describes here, right? In verse 17 and 18. So think about it. If you have little or no understanding of God, or the things of God, if you're not walking in relationship with God, meaning I'm excluded from the life of God, and I have this heart that is a heart of stone, meaning that it's resistant to the will of God, then guess what's going to happen? You are going to live in your natural futile mind. That is the result. Think about it. If you have no relationship with God, you're not aware of the deep things of God, you have this stony heart that is resistant to the will of God, then your natural way of doing things is you're going to lean on your futile mind, meaning you're just going to be tossed to and fro by different beliefs and teachings in this world, whether they're secular or religious or political. You're going to get caught up in political ideologies and conspiracies. You're just going to be flowing back and forth. Why? Because your mind is unstable. It's not bent and shaped by the mind of Christ. And that is the natural mind that he's saying here that these Gentiles had. And he's telling these Ephesians, I don't want you going back there. I think about this. This weekend, right, I had seen this video. I was watching a video on YouTube. And it was this guy who would go into these other countries. And he went to this other country. And he was interviewing this tribe of people that were cannibalists, right? Meaning they ate other human flesh. They were cannibals, right? And during the interview, one of the guy begins to literally pee in his hand, right? So they're all sitting on the ground, and he begins to just pee in his hand, and then he begins to drink the pee, right? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to gross you guys out, but I'm making a point here, right? He begins to, again, and he has like the jaw of a, I don't know if it was a human or animal, it's just on his head, and they eat human meat. And the reason he's doing this is because he doesn't believe that anything that he eats or drink can defile him, right? And so he was trying to make a point that, like, I can drink my pee, and this is why I eat meat or human flesh, because nothing can defile me. And I'm just thinking, like, well, I thought about it, like, that's the futile mind right there. Because he doesn't realize that he's already defiled already by his own sinful nature. So he can try to drink all this pee and say that I'm not defiled. But that, again, that's the futile mind right there, what that guy was doing. He didn't have any understanding. So he was operating off of that. That's the futile mind, thinking I can do whatever when he was already defiled. You know what else is the futile mind? The futile mind also says this, that money can buy me happiness, right? So all I need to do is to spend my time pursuing wealth, right? And then once I get more money I get, the more happier I'll be. Well, that's the futile mind. Why? Because we know that money will not get anyone, bring them happiness. That's a futile way of thinking. Why? Because it doesn't get us into our intended purpose. But that is a very popular mind in the world that we live. But that is a futile mind. Another futile mind is the mind that says, oh, the more famous I'll get, the happier I'll be. So let me spend my time trying to go viral and get popular. Again, that's especially more futile amongst teenagers, but that's the futile mind, thinking that if I get fame, if I get notoriety, then my life will be that much better. I'll be so much more happy. But no, that is futile, because what? We know that fame is not going to bring happiness. Fame is not going to bring joy. It's a futile exercise because it won't get you to your intended place that you want to go. Another one of the things that afflicted me, saints, as a kid that was futile was the thought of get as many girls as you can, right? That's really popular amongst young men, right? To get as many bodies, body count. That's just a way of saying sleeping with people. They call it body counts. But to get your body count up, because the more women you get, the more women you sleep with, then you'll be the man. Then you'll feel better about yourself. Again, that is the futile mind, right? Because we know that will not get us to our intended purpose, the intended place that we want to get. All of those thoughts, saints, are futile. So all of those scenarios that I put out, that's the futile mind that's popular in our society. And that's the mind of a mind without God. And if you don't have God, you will find yourself falling and living according to those futile minds, if you will. So it's really no surprise then when you think about Paul and how he's telling these Gentiles not to walk according to this futile mind. It's no surprise then when Paul prays for these Ephesians back in chapter 1, he prays the way that he prays. And what do you think? And the point that I'm making is this. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to show you something here. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm sorry, verse 15. I want to show you the way that Paul prays here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And I want to see if you can see the connection between what he's telling the Ephesians in chapter 4. Remember, he's telling these Gentiles who were formerly pagan, who were formerly caught up in all these weird, strange beliefs to no longer walk according to those ways, right? To no longer walk like the ways that they used to walk when their minds were futile. And so look at the way he prays. I want you to see here. Look at the things that he's praying about. You're going to see here in Ephesians 1, verse 15 down to a few verses, you'll see, verse 19, you're going to see that what he's praying about are all things that deal with the mind. I just want to show you this here. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, look what he prays here. I'm starting at 15 and come down. He says this, "For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints." Here you go. Look, he's going to talk about his prayer now. What is Paul praying about? I want you to see what he is praying about to these Gentile Ephesians here. He says, "That I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." Look what he's going to pray about here in 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you" what? "The spirit of wisdom and revelation" what? "In the knowledge of" who? Of him. Who's he talking about? Who's him? Jesus. He's talking about God, right? Jesus, right? What were the people living in the futility of their minds missing? Right? Remember, what did Paul say there in the beginning, back in 14? That they were darkened in their understanding, right? Meaning they didn't know. They didn't have an understanding of these things. They didn't have an understanding of God, not on the deep things of God. They were darkened in their understanding. So what is Paul praying for these Gentiles who used to be darkened in their understanding? I'm praying that you will get a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, right? Because before your mind was futile, your understanding was darkened. But now that you are in Christ, I'm praying that God just gives you more of himself, that he reveals more of himself, that he gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelations that you really understand who he is. Do you see? He's praying about things, again, that deals with the mind. Why? Because they just come out of this pagan culture where their minds were gone with all these crazy and wild beliefs. So now he wants them to know the true and living God. So he's praying, again, about their mind, their way of thinking. Give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, right? Because they were darkened in their understanding previously, right? Let's keep reading. Look what else he prays. Hope you can see the connection here. In verse 18, look what he says. "I pray that the eyes of" what? "Your heart may be enlightened." Remember, they were dark before, right? That mind, right? "Were enlightened so that you will know," again, knowing something, what? "The hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe?" You see a connection here. The people that were walking in the futility of their mind, who had a darkened understanding. Guess what, saints? At that time, they did not know about the hope of his calling. They did not know about the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. They did not know about the kingdom of God. They did not know about the new heavens and new earth. They did not know about the glorified bodies that they will receive. They did not know that we will reign on this new heavens and new earth with Christ. They did not know about the surprising greatness of his power. They were ignorant of those things. They had little understanding of God. Remember, that's what that verse says in verse 17 and 18, that they were excluded from the life of God. They were darkened in their understanding. They didn't know those things. And because they didn't know those things and they had this stony heart, they found themselves just going the way of their culture, going the way of the world. But Paul is saying, that is not you anymore. That's not them anymore, right? Now they know Christ. That's not them. They're no longer walking according to those ways. Now they know Christ. And here's the crescendo of the meditation, saints. Saints, this was you before you met Christ. I just want you to see that. Before you met Christ, saints, you lived in your futile mind, saints. You were just like these Ephesians who Paul is telling them, don't walk like the Gentiles. Don't walk like the people who's walking in the futility of their mind. Saints, that was once you. You were separated from Christ if you didn't know that. Go with me to Ephesians 2:12. I want to show you this in case you forget, because sometimes we have a short memory. We forget. Ephesians 2:12. Look what it says, Ephesians 2:12. Just want to say this. Paul says, remember what? That you were at that time separate from who? This is to you, saints. You remember at that time you were separate from Christ. So that means you were at that time walking in your futile mind, saints. You weren't always with this right mind, saints. You didn't always see people like with the eyes of Christ, saints. That wasn't always you. Look at you now. Now you have a different mind. Now when you see the homeless, you see something different. Now when you see somebody in need, you see something different. But that was not you before, saints, right? We were walking in our futile minds, walking in our flesh, walking in our own ways. But now that we have the mind of Christ, the world looks different. That's why I said this is good news that you have a new mind. You don't think the way you used to think. You think differently, right? Now you're thinking from a Christ-centered perspective. Now you're thinking about things that bring glory to God. You didn't always think that way. So praise God, the good news for this new mind that you now have. You were like them. Remember, you lived in the futility of your mind. You didn't know, again, about the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. You didn't know about the hope of his calling. You didn't have a wisdom and revelation and a knowledge of God. You had a small knowledge of God, right? And guess what? You had a stony heart. We lived in that futile way. But then something happened. Something happened in you. What happened in you? Why don't you think the way that you used to think now, saints? Why do you think differently, saints? What happened in you? Somebody give me the answer. Why are you not like how you used to think? What changed? What came about in you? What happened?
We were adopted with his love.
Amen. What happened was God happened, right? We were living in the futility of our mind. We had no understanding about the deep things of God. We didn't know about the riches of his glorious inheritance, but something happened. We were living in this life of sensuality, meaning just doing whatever felt good, whatever tasted good. It didn't matter what I listened to. Even they were talking murder in the rap lyrics. It sounded good to me, so I'm listening to it. Oh, this drink tastes good, so I'm just going to drink it. Oh, this drug tastes good, so I'm just going to smoke it. Whatever feels good. My God was my pleasure. My pleasure was my God. That's how we lived in the futility of our mind. We were following our senses, Paul says, but then something happened. That thing that happened was God. Guess what happened to you? Ephesians 2:4 happened to you. Go to Ephesians 2:4 so you can see what actually happened to you, why you don't have that futile mind anymore, why you have a different mind. Look what Ephesians 2:4 says. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love for which he loved us. Keep going. even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's what happened to you, saints. That's why you no longer have that mind. That's why I'm saying this is the good news of a new mind. Christ didn't just come and just save your soul, but he also gave you a new mind to where you look at the world differently. Well, now you begin to hate sin, right? You begin to hate unrighteousness, right? When before you can just go ahead and do it, but what God has given you a new mind, you see the world differently. This is the good news, saints, of a new mind. You got this new mind. You got the mind of Christ now. And not only did you get a new mind, you know, you actually got a new heart. Remember Paul says in Ephesians 4, what was the verse? Verse 18, that they had a hardness of heart. Not only did God give you a new mind, but did you know that he also gave you a new heart? Anybody familiar with Ezekiel 36, 26? Where it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So what happened to us? God happened to us. He gave us a new mind, and he gave us a new heart. And so Paul is spending Ephesians, the second half of Ephesians, reminding these Ephesians that that is not you anymore. You are a new creature. So don't go and walk the ways of those Gentiles, how they walked, in the futility of their mind. You have a new heart. You have a new mind. You don't have to live that way. And that's the word for us, saints. Matter of fact, Paul, I love what he says. He says in verse 20, going down, he says, but you did not learn Christ in this way. He's talking about that futile way of living, that sensuality. He's like, Christ didn't even teach you those things. You got this new mind. So how will you use this new mind? And this is really a warning for us, saints. I'm giving us this verse here because Paul talks about how when you don't have a new mind, when you are living in your futile mind, you find yourself again just, your God becomes your pleasures become your sensual, your God. That's why he says in verse 19, he says, they have become callous and have given themselves over to sensualities for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Meaning, my God is my pleasure. Meaning, again, I'm doing whatever feels good. That is what I serve. Whatever's going to bring me the most pleasure, that is what I serve. And he said sensuality. Again, those are things that taste good, feel good, sound good. Those are all things that are good to our senses. And I bring this up just for us to really ask ourselves, are there things that we're doing that we know that God wouldn't approve, but we're doing them because they feel good? Because this is what Paul is saying here. He's telling them to be aware of this. This is how you used to act. This is how people who had a futile mind lived. They just did what was ever, whatever felt good, whether it was sinful or not, whatever felt good, they were going to do it. Like I said, if this drug made me feel good, I'm going to do it. And we got to ask ourselves now, even though we're Christians and with this new mind, are we still doing things that we know God wouldn't approve of, but we do them because they make us feel good? Again, down to the music we listen to. I love it. Last week, Sister Marie, her and I had a conversation, which I didn't know her and I have a lot more in common. Sister Marie grew up around the hood, right? She grew up in Vallejo. When I mentioned Mac Dre, I'm thinking like, my man Marcus would know who I'm talking about. She was like, oh yeah, I know Mac Dre. And she started telling me songs, and I'm like, you know Mac Dre like that? I'm like, oh wow, right? But she was like, yeah. And she started naming all these other rappers. I'm like, Marie, you know all of these people? She's like, I love that stuff back in the day. But she's like, I can't listen to it now because just the lyrics, and it's just not good for me, right? And that's the thing. Are we doing this, though? This is to the saints. Are you listening to stuff that you know that God wouldn't approve of? You got to be you got to watch out for it because, yes, it's going to sound good to your senses, but Paul says we don't want to do this anymore. Why we don't want to do it? Because, one, we're dishonoring the calling that God has upon our life. Because he tells it in the beginning of Ephesians 1 that we should walk worthy of the calling, meaning to honor this calling of God upon your life. So when I'm bringing certain things in that I know that's not God-pleasing, then I'm really dishonoring the call, and I'm dishonoring this call that God has upon me. So that's one reason why we don't want to be bringing that stuff in. And the other thing, it corrupts when we bring in stuff that is not God-pleasing, and I'm just talking about music now, and it goes to our ears, it can corrupt how I'm thinking about God. It can corrupt what I'm meditating on, and then it can affect you from being fruitful here in the body of Christ. And that's what Paul was really concerned about, because if you continue to read, if you back up back to the previous parts of Ephesians, Paul talks about how God has given the church all of these gifts. He goes out to the office that God has given the church, right? He talks about the apostle and the prophet and the teacher, right, for the building up of the body. Right? And so he's talking about how we all have these gifts that's meant to build us up. But guess what? If I find myself doing things that's going to take me away from God, that's going to draw my mind away from God, I'm not going to be a great use to the body of Christ. And so that's why we got to watch even the stuff we listen to, because it can affect our mind, and now we won't be as fruitful as we could be to the body of Christ, and it will stunt our growth in God. So that's why it's important to watch what you're listening to, even if it sounds good. The next thing is with our senses. What else do we have our senses? We have our eyes, right? Now we think about, are you watching stuff that wouldn't be God approving? Because again, the things that you watch with your eyes, I'm talking about online, from YouTube to Netflix to Hulu to all those different things, again, that can affect your walk with the Lord. That can affect your fruitfulness in the body of Christ. So now we got to watch what we're watching. Yes, it may look good. It may entertain us. It may put us in a good mood. But we got to ask ourselves, is this God pleasing? So we got to examine ourselves there, because, again, it can affect our walk. And the other thing is that I've mentioned before, we got to ask ourselves when it comes to drugs and alcohol, all those different things that we may take, because it makes us feel good. But what is the end result? Does it affect our growth? Does it affect our walk? So these are the things that he says here. He's warning these Ephesians here. Don't be like this. Don't walk like these Gentiles who are in this futile mind. They just chase after sensuality, things that make them feel good. He's like, you didn't learn Christ that way. He said, if you heard the voice of Christ, you know you didn't hear him say that this was okay. So don't do it. Don't operate in those things. And that's his warning here to the Ephesians. He's warning them, don't do that. That's not you anymore. You have a new mind. That futile mind is gone. So walk in the ways of Christ. This is the warning, saints, that I'm just putting it out to us. Look at your life. What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you putting in your body? I know it may make you feel good, but what is the end result of it? Don't chase after the sensuality. That is not your God. Christ is your God. That's where our mind has to be focused on. We'll stop there. We'll stop there, and I'll end with just, saints, really, I want you to reflect and think about the new mind that you now have. And praise God that you have this new mind, this new way of thinking, saints, that you didn't always have before. Because in times past, we all know our mind was crazy going other places. But God came and he made you alive and he gave you a new mind. And be thankful of that mind that you now have. Be thankful with the eyes that you now have, that you see the world differently. You see life differently. This was not always the case. So I hope this makes you reflect on what you have already, what God has done in you. I hope you can see the good news of having this new mind. And again, I'm just asking you also to examine yourself to see what you're putting in front of you, in your eyes, what you're listening to, what you're putting in your body that may make you feel good, that's actually going to end in death for you. And I put this to myself too. I know there's things that, and I'm just, maybe I shouldn't be confessing on the internet, but I'm like, yeah, Jerome, you shouldn't be watching this. Yes, it's great entertaining on Netflix, but you know you shouldn't be watching this. And so as I was typing this up, I was finding conviction in my own self. Like, I'm really pointing the finger at myself here. because I realize there's things that I'm just doing because it makes me feel good as I watch it, but I shouldn't be doing this. So I pray this challenges you, saints, like it challenged me, but also pray that this makes you grateful for the new mind that you have. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. We thank you for this new mind that you've given us, God, a mind that loves you, that wants to pursue you, God, that you are now front and center, a mind that is consumed with your glory, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for taking us out of the prison of being obsessed with our own glory, a mind that's focused on our own clout and our own notoriety, God, but now it's a mind that's directed towards you, Lord. God, if we fall astray in God and start looking back to our old ways, Lord, will you bring conviction by the Holy Spirit, God? God, if we're watching and listening and doing things that are not pleasing to your sight, God, will you bring conviction by your Holy Spirit to show us the way that we should go? You've made us new, God. You've made us new creatures. You've given us new thoughts, new ideas, new affections. We thank you for it, Lord, that we're no longer dead, walking in the futility of our mind, but now we're walking in the light of Christ. Do a work in the hearts and minds of my brothers and sisters today, God. Bring conviction where conviction is needed, God. Bring joy where joy is needed, God. Bring peace where peace is needed, Lord. God, anything that I said today, Lord, that wasn't clear, God, by your Holy Spirit, will you make it clear? Minister to your word, God. We ask these blessings in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.